The leftist looks at what is beautiful and what is good and what is natural and is filled with envy and hatred. The leftist looks at a perfect family with the perfect life and a perfect job and perfect kids, that goes to church every Sunday and is filled with a feeling of inadequacy and jealousy, and they covet, and they turn those emotions ultimately into a desire to subjugate, to oppress, and to inflict pain and suffering. It's not a coincidence that when you look at these violent Antifa demonstrations, you see any photograph of those who were assembled, to be blunt, not one of the people that is demonstrating looks like a normal person. Not one looks normal. They're all deformed in some way in their appearance, in their dress, in their mannerism. Why is that? Why, if you look at two photographs and you see a normal American street, you see an Antifa protest, why do the people that are violently demonstrating, why is there not one normal-looking person among them? Every one of them, through the course of their life and their decisions, has scarred their body and their appearance in many different ways, to the point in which their outer appearance becomes a manifestation of their inner hatred. Trust your instincts. To all people and across all civilizations, you know what normal is. You know what beautiful is. You know what good is. You know that families are right. You know that children are precious and beautiful and must be protected. You know that the criminal and the junkie and the predator is a threat to normal, healthy living. This is so much deeper than issues about taxation and regulation, although they're incredibly important. It's about normal, healthy, ordered living. And the violent leftists, for these deep-seated reasons, going back to the earliest wisdom taught to us in the Bible about coveting, and I'm not talking about rich versus poor. I'm talking about a much deeper kind of coveting. Coveting people who are morally superior, who are superior in the simple, truthful way they live their lives. People that they look at who are happy and ordered and peaceful and contributing to their communities. That burns an ember in them, and that's how you end up with the horrors we've seen throughout history, where good families are dragged out into the street and executed. And you might say, again, you're describing a future that seems impossible to conceive of. When it comes to preventing these horrors, it is the burden and the duty of good people of all walks of life to understand that you will always be accused of raising the alarm too loudly. If you wait until the point where the worst outcome is so obvious that no one can deny it, you've already lost the battle. That's the fundamental point. If you say, I will not raise this alarm until the threat is so present and so clear and so obvious and so imminent that none can deny it, well, it's already too late. It's already too late. I would rather prevent a threat from occurring and be accused for the rest of my life of having falsely raised the alarm, knowing in myself that I was right, than for fear of being judged, having waited too long until the point of no return has been crossed. The good news is that we are far away from the point of no return. So all of us should organize together and work together for the good and the benefit of all the people in our societies, of all walks of life, of all persuasions, to deliver for them what they are justly entitled to, which is to live with safety, with fundamental human dignity, and with the ability to live in peace and harmony with their families and neighbors.
So that was Stephen Miller with an incredibly powerful speech about the underlying motives of leftism and especially leftist violence. I think he's exactly right. And I think it's an important thing to point out that this really isn't about economics, just like the outrage and the discomfort people feel now isn't entirely about economics. We'll touch on that on the other side. Stay with us.
The info war is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the info war. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Spent the first hour talking about leftist violence. Marco Rubio and Stephen Miller giving very powerful speeches about that. I want to stick to the topic of leftism versus rightism here for a minute, because I think Stephen Miller is right when he points out the underlying spiritual malaise that inspires leftism as a concept, and that it is born from, in many cases, an envy, a seething, vicious jealousy that some have for people who have what they don't. And that is a spiritual injury, a spiritual disability, right? To see somebody else with a bunch of great things and to hate that person, there's something wrong with you, actually. But that's not necessarily a cultural, that's not ubiquitous in all cultures. Let's just say that. Just like in a lot of other cultures, you know, there's nothing wrong with paying people for a vote. In other cultures, being motivated by spite or envy isn't actually necessarily the worst thing in the world. We in the West became great because we recognized that. I just thought the way you put it was so funny, and just the way that Stephen Miller does in his autistically accurate sort of reading of things. Let's go to clip 31 here, just a short section that I thought was particularly funny and true and poignant from Stephen Miller's speech. Let's watch.
To subjugate, to oppress, and to inflict pain and suffering. It's not a coincidence that when you look at these violent Antifa demonstrations, you see any photograph of those who were assembled. To be blunt, not one of the people that is demonstrating looks like a normal person. Not one looks normal. They're all deformed in some way in their appearance, in their dress, in their mannerism. Why is that? Why, if you look at two photographs and you see a normal American street, you see an Antifa protest. Why do the people that are violently demonstrating, why is there not one normal looking person among them? Every one of them, through the course of their life and their decisions, has scarred their body and their appearance in many different ways, to the point in which their outer appearance becomes a manifestation of their inner hatred. Trust your instincts. To all people and across all civilizations, you know what normal is. You know what beautiful is. You know what good is. You know that families are right.
I love it. And it's absolutely true. And it used to be an extremely common meme. You don't see them very much anymore. But definitely, 8 years ago or whatever, you'd constantly see pictures of, pretty blonde girls going to college and then leaving college just a disgusting mess, just like fat and tatted and piercings and disfigurements and stringed out colored hair. And it's just like, yeah, this is leftism. It poisons the body. And there's an outward expression of that. It's all extremely true. But I guess I'm just thinking out loud here, because I've got all these stories. There's something weird happening right now where life itself has been uprooted and destroyed to a large degree, especially for younger people. Like, the world they live in many ways unrecognizable from the world that even I grew up in. I'm not that old or anything, but you look around at what Gen Z is growing up in, it is a completely different and significantly worse world. And so, there actually is a way to run things that is generous and efficient and good. I mean, there's a way to do this. And America largely nailed it for like 50 years there. We were doing pretty great. We're doing pretty well. It all sort of went off the rails. And so what we're dealing with now is like the downstream effects, sort of the original cultural revolution that occurred in the 1960s. So I'm kind of struggling to like figure out how to deal with this because this isn't about economics solely. I mean, economics contribute and they're an aggravating factor and they're really a symptom of what's going on. But I don't think that's the main thing inspiring people to outrage and envy and terror right now. I think it is just an act of desperation in recognition of just how messed up our world is right now and how ineffective our systems are at actually creating success or prosperity or anything else. And this is just, it makes it harder to contend with. If it was purely economic, there's no argument for communism, obviously. Just because it just is proven out, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work that way. Markets are superior. Yeah, I'm really trying to, I'm sitting at the gay barbecue, really studying like an anthropologist, really trying to figure out what exactly has gone wrong here. Because it is complicated. It is kind of confusing. You know, here's a headline that should kind of throw your whole perspective out of whack. Yeah, effects of liberalism. This used to be an extremely common, you know, meme format. You don't really see that much anymore, but it's out there still, very much so. Yeah, it's a mental disorder. It is literally a mental disorder. Like, that's not just a cute saying. Liberalism is literally a mental disorder. The right wing is order. That's like what defines, if you're actually going to define the right wing, it's about having an ordered, structured society. Disorder is what the left is. But like, we're hearing about the left-wing violence. We're hearing about the threats of communism. We're hearing people in the Trump administration seem to be taking this seriously. People in the Republican Party like Mike Johnson, his words have the sense of sincerity when he talks about the threat of communism. And as you're hearing all of that, I read this headline. China introduces rules to rein in AI companion bots amid emotional dependency concerns. Is this a communist idea? Certainly is not, you know, conducive to individual freedom. Like my lover, Chinese users bid farewell to AI companions. Chinese users of AI-powered companion bots have bid heart-rending farewells to their virtual buddies as national regulations took effect Wednesday aimed at curbing the risk of emotional dependency. The phenomenon of artificial intelligence boyfriends and girlfriends is growing worldwide, along with the prevalence of human-like avatars that sell products or stand in for loved ones who have died. But these interactive tools must, quote, not excessively cater to users, induce emotional dependence or addiction, and damage users' real interpersonal relationships, China's new rulebook says. Major AI providers, including ByteDance's Doubao, Alibaba's Qwen, and Tencent's Yuanbao, announced the suspension of their custom AI agent and companion features ahead of Wednesday's deadline. I think this is a good thing. I don't think it's good for our society to be in this crisis of relationships, right? Crisis of intimacy, crisis of companionship, and to be then providing people with a digital facsimile of a relationship, like a Band-Aid for a cancer diagnosis. I actually don't think it's a good thing that AI companies and social media companies can deliberately manipulate their code to create chemical dependency by activating the dopamine receptors in your brain through, you know, highly sophisticated and, you know, scientifically aligned noises and lights. I mean, why would we allow them to do that? Why are we allowing them to do that? I guess this is where the rubber meets the road, where it's like, I like freedom. I want individuals to be able to make their own choices. But what happens when society is like broken to a point where individuals out of sheer desperation are removing themselves from the real world and retreating into a digital cave where they can live out their existence in anonymity. Like, this isn't good. This isn't right. It's not healthy. It's bad. Will we ever do anything to stop these companies from exploiting the users? Would it be too communist to perhaps try to correct the path that we're on? And you know, I posted something today about, you know, this is why people are going to communism. It was somebody posting that, you know, the grocery order that they got 3 years ago or 5 years ago is like $100 more expensive now, which I think is about accurate. Other people saying it's a account from Africa or something. I don't really care, because the sentiment is the point. It's the truth. It's people are turning to communism because their lives are dysfunctional. They're not able to get ahead. They're not able to even keep their head above water. They're having to rely on so the point is, yeah, didn't add a single item 5 years. Again, you know, maybe this is totally fake, but it's not. I mean, we all know it's not. We've all seen the receipts. Whether it was exactly a 145% increase or not, I don't know. But the point is, people are miserable. People are, and I have other people going, well, but that's because we've become more communistic. Yes, I know. That's the problem that we're in, is that we are no longer comporting ourselves with our traditional standards, our traditional way of life, our traditional capitalist system, or whatever else. The more we move away from that, the worse everything gets. The more we move towards communism, the more everyone suffers. The more everyone suffers, the more people appeal to communism. So it's this like vicious feedback loop that we've entered into. It's a problem, but the reason people are looking for an answer is real. The misery is real. The chaos is real. The lack of actual society in this country is real and hugely damaging. And so when you look at a country like China, who will throw its billionaires in prison if they break the law, it's like, do we have to be communist to do that? I would think we would do that to keep capitalism afloat. Just like you would expect, you know, I saw somebody yesterday. It's like, oh, you know, big business loves capitalism until it's time for socialism to bail them out. And it's like, that's not capitalism. No, they should fail. They should be allowed to fail. That's actually a core component of capitalism, is that if you don't serve your customers, if you don't do what you're supposed to, you're supposed to fail. You're not supposed to go appeal to the government to rob the taxpayers to backfill all the money that you owe because you failed. Like, yes, that is communism. That is, and it serves the capitalist structure. So you should actually be in favor of capitalism that would allow those companies to go down. But like I said, why is it that we seem utterly incapable of doing anything to help the American people? Now, you might think it's government overreach to, you know, get rid of AI companions. But we know, I mean, Facebook just lost a massive lawsuit about, you know, emotionally manipulating children. Like, they do this. They know how to do it. They have access. They're doing this. And it's not, this isn't a matter of capitalism. This is a matter of manipulation and subversion and, you know, doing things to people that are hurting them without them knowing it. Like, we don't have to allow this. Why can we not put a stop to this? Why can we not do something to correct the major problems in our country, which have a financial element to them, but aren't really financial at the end of the day? The problem with the fact that you can't buy a house is because you can't own something and build something and start a family. You want to feel accomplished. You want to feel, you know, safe and secure before you bring a baby into the world. So you want to get married. You want to have a job. Like, these things are necessary for flourishing of human life, not just making money. The money is there to facilitate the enjoyment and the prosperity and the beauty of human life, not for its own ends. So when I see something like that, I'm like, okay, what if we don't become communist, but we do like very simple common sense things that benefit the people and not the corporations? Would that make us communist? I don't think so. I think it would make us Americans. I think it would actually mean that we could have a capitalistic system if it weren't constantly exploited. You know, this is from Katie Miller. This is Steve Miller's wife. She posts that women want ambitious men who are caretakers and providers. This is how the birth rate continues to fall. In relation to this chart showing that nearly one third of young adults live with their parents. Yeah, this is what's causing communism. This is what's causing the birth rate to fall off. Like, all of these things aggravate all of these other things. This is the issue. So how do we fix this? If this wasn't the case, communism wouldn't be an issue. If people could actually live fulfilling lives, then they would be happy and wouldn't be looking for an alternative. They wouldn't be trying to tear the whole system down. So this is the real issue. And yes, this is a consequence, in my belief, and all the data backs it up, of us moving ever more towards socialism, more towards expanded government control, more towards, you know, involvement of the government in the private sector. But we got to be, but you, so maybe, I mean, how do we categorize this stuff where it's like, it's not about, is it big government or little government? I think that is a false dichotomy. I think that's a trick. I genuinely think that that was seeded into the zeitgeist of American politics to convince conservatives that, like, you're never allowed to actually do anything. You're never actually allowed to use the government to do anything. It's actually between small and big government, and you should always be on the side of small government. So anytime there's any problem for which government is the answer, you have to be against the solution. And it's like, this is a trick. This is wrong. It's not about big government or little government. It's about, is the government doing things for the people or not? Are they doing something to actually guarantee that the average person can live a life that is prosperous and happy and successful and secure? Or are they undercutting that at every pass? Because right now we're undercutting that at every pass. And for some reason, the communist nations are the ones who actually seem to be able to put some controls that would provide for a better life. Young people want marriage and kids. They can't afford them. But again, but I want to make clear. If they could get a wife and kids without having money, they'd do that. But like, our system is that you need money to do these things. The problem, like the real actual problem, is that we aren't building families, that we aren't meeting people and having fun and having kids and building communities. And that's the problem. Yes, the financial aspect is a contributor to that overall problem. And the structure of our society is such that finances are required to do that, to build a family. But like, you could come up with an alternative system. Like, these very same people have dislocated from modern society and placed in a medieval village where money wasn't even really a thing. You just lived off the land. They'd have kids. They'd be happy. They'd be successful. It's about the lack of human flourishing at the end of the day. That's the major problem. That's the sickness at the heart of our civilization that's getting worse every single day. The capitalists are just as much to blame as any government program is, because they work hand in hand. The solution is to have the government actually use its inordinate power to actually benefit the people and not the corporations. That is the answer. And it's like, we have to do that so the communists don't do it. Do you understand? I want minimal government intervention to break up monopolies, stop the excessive greed of private equity, you know, stop these corporations from doing this pseudo legal, because there's no law explicitly against it. Then they're allowed to go in and take a prosperous, successful, profitable company, gut it completely, bankrupt it, fire everybody, sell all the stores, pocket the difference, and move on to the next store. We don't need to allow that. And it's not communism to step in and stop that. It's the function of the government. It's stopping oppression and exploitation from a corporate structure by using the governmental structure. We have to do that, or else the communists are going to win. And they're not going to give a damn about the Constitution or capitalism at all. And if anything, you know, they'll make everything worse. And so we'll talk about, we'll get into it more in the next segment. But I really think this goes directly to stuff like the like we talked about a little bit yesterday. We touched on it, but I'm again going to just kind of try to puzzle this out in real time live, because, and I see all these things as like deeply interconnected, that right now there is this sort of disturbing split in society where kids, young people, young adults are having less sex, being less intimate, being less relationships than ever before. You can't have attractive people on billboards or in commercials, but hardcore pornography has no limits. And, you know, they're showing your kid cartoon gay porn in elementary school. It's like, this is the problem. This, again, whether, you know, it's just like everything is uprooted. Everything is unmoored. Everything is chaotic and total nonsense. And I think really at the end of the day, people are just, they just want something. They just want something that says, this is normal. It's normal to want to look at pretty girls. That's actually very normal of you. And it's okay. It's normal for pretty girls to like being looked at. That's also okay. That's normal. That's good. It's good and normal to want to have a family. It's good and normal to want to work and build and create. That's all very normal. It's just that doesn't exist in today's world. In today's world, you have the exploitation of capitalism or the envy and seething madness of the left. All people want is a normal life. People just want to be able to enjoy themselves. And right now, everybody is broke and miserable. And if you actually want to provide a solution to that, you need to look at where we were, where we are now, what's changed in the meantime, and then undo those changes. So we can talk all we want about finances or whatever. We just need to deport 50 million people. If you deport 50 million people, people will be able to buy houses. They won't be living in their cars. They won't be attending DSA meetings and trying to overthrow the government, because they're going to have families and other things to concern themselves with. So all of these things, you just got to undo the crap that got us here. You got to deport the immigrants that are driving down wages and driving up house prices. You have to undo the regulations that are keeping small businesses from sprouting up. You have to break up the monopolies, especially in big tech. You have to actually keep up with the financial manipulation. Like I mentioned earlier, you have to actually make laws stopping private equity from doing what is technically not illegal, but obviously hugely damaging to individuals and society as a whole. You have to actually prioritize and concern yourself with the well-being of the American people, and then nobody would have a reason to want to overthrow you. But until you do that, all the talk in the world about communism will do nothing to change the trajectory that we're on.
I'm extremely excited about this. You know, we always have the strongest turmeric at thealexjonesstore.com, and the capsules are 95% curcuminoid. That is the strongest in the market. So the very same great manufacturer that made this made it as a liquid tincture, the strongest on the market, and even better than powder, because there's even better absorption, ultimate turmeric, and it's got a bunch of other amazing ingredients that are known to supercharge turmeric. I know so many people that Advil doesn't work when they have a sprained ankle or arthritis, but when they take our brand of turmeric, they go, this works better than Advil. And you know, including family I've had, that's like, well, this pill's not as big as my other turmeric. My other turmeric helps, but I got to take a bunch of the pills. I said, just take two of these. And whether it's my dad or my wife or anybody, they're like, wow, this worked better. Why? Because those aren't concentrates. Those are raw turmeric. This raw turmeric's 4-5% curcuminoid, 95. Okay? So we're very excited about this tincture. Just a half dropper a day. So good for your whole body. 95% curcuminoids. The liquid is better absorption. And this is 60 servings per bottle. So 2-month supply. And right now, if you're a subscriber, you just sign up to lock in at 50%, canceling time for free. You lock in at 50% off. It's 25% off for everybody if you just buy it straight off at thealexjonesstore.com. the new Ultimate Liquid Turmeric Tincture, and it's got a bunch of other really cool stuff in it as well. Not just concentrated turmeric root, curcumin lunga, the strongest part, but ginger root concentrated, zingbeer officinal is the, I guess, the Latin for it, and pepperdine concentrated black pepper extract. All of it synergistically works together. 250 milligrams and just a half dropper of the turmeric concentrate, 12 milligrams of the concentrated ginger, and 100 of the pepperdine black pepper extract. Very strong, an amazing product. The newest product at thealexjonesstore.com. Liquid tincture, superior absorption. Pepperdine inclusion is the difference maker. Turmeric without pepperdine is largely wasted. Most budget companies do that. Natural enzymes and things in the concentrated pepper get into the cells quicker. Triple ingredient synergy. Turmeric, ginger, concentrated black pepper, 60 servings, vegan friendly, GMO free and gluten free, free of major allergies, natural flavors only, no additives or synthetic flavorings, and it funds this operation. And anybody getting the products, the other great supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the t-shirts, the collectible coins, they're about to sell out, the amazing shower filters of the highest rated, taking out the most toxins of any brand at an incredibly low price, should be a VIP. Every month, in your profile, it charges you $30. You can cancel anytime for free. You instantly, when you're charged, get $40 in your profile to spend. Special deals, special offers, and sales on top of all the other sales. Everyone should be a VIP. And if you're worried about some products that sell out from time to time, just become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on all future orders of that product as long as you stay subscribed. Cancel anytime. So become a VIP, become a subscriber, and lock it in with no commitment from you, but it's locked in for you if you choose to keep it locked in at thealexjonesstore.com. New Liquid Ultimate Turmeric, the strongest on the market. So good for your whole body and inflammation. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, welcome back, folks. You know, just to finish off sort of what we're talking about here with the leftist attempt to take over the United States, let's go to clip 37 here. This is Steve Bannon reflecting what, again, I would think would be obvious to every Republican, but they seem incapable of recognizing the real threat to our nation, our life, our well-being. They think it's in Iran. It ain't. It's right here. Let's watch Steve Bannon. 37.
Did you vote to spend trillions every year in defense? Defending us against what? When we don't have control of the cities of the United States. The enemy is inside the gate. And the enemy's in City Hall in Manhattan, in City Hall in Los Angeles, and Chicago, in Minneapolis, and the governors of these states. And guess what? The enemy is inside the gate in the imperial capital. From the intelligence agency, now we know, all the way to the White House staff.
The enemy is in the gate. What are we spending trillions of dollars on overseas when we don't even have control of our country domestically? Now, Donald Trump is supposed to be giving a big speech tonight. It should begin around 8 p.m. Central Time. We're actually going to be hosting that and commenting on it. Alex Jones will be live starting at 7:30 p.m. Central tonight, July 16th, for the live coverage of Trump's election integrity speech. We can go to clip two here. This is Caroline Leavitt previewing what he may be talking about later today.
140 days now. If what he says is tonight is backed up by evidence, why hasn't anyone been charged?
Well, he hasn't revealed it yet. He hasn't declassified the documents yet, and you will see what he says tonight, and then we'll move forward
so
appropriately
we'll
from there.
Tonight from the Justice Department?
I don't speak on behalf of the Justice Department, Caitlin. You know that. Rachel,
by evidence, will there be charges?
You'll have to ask the Justice Department. I don't charge people. I just speak on behalf of the president. Rachel.
All right, so apparently we'll be talking about election integrity. This probably has to do, at least in part, with the hundreds of FBI agents that recently just went down to collect evidence in Fulton County, Georgia, where we know some of the most egregious and obvious fraud was carried out, far from the only place. But again, I would say, I would reflect and, you know, echo what Thomas Massie says about this, which is it really about rigging the vote? You got to actually deliver for your people, or else elections don't matter, no matter how fair they are. Let's go to clip 41 here. This is Thomas Massie on MS Now talking about the threat of fraudulent elections. Let's watch.
The president's going to be making a speech to the nation tonight in which he's going to outline alleged fraud in the 2020 election. We had Jay Clayton, who wants to be the new DNI, up in the Senate yesterday, incapable of saying that Joe Biden won the election in 2020. Has the president just convinced himself that he won the election, even though he knows that he didn't? There's no evidence there. And why does he keep going back to this?
You know, we're pushing the SAVE Act, Republicans are, which would require ID to vote and to be an American citizen. And I support that. But I don't think the problem, you know, is that our elections aren't secure, because we control the House, we control the Senate, we control the White House, and in some degree, we control the Supreme Court. So I asked my Republican colleagues, why are you complaining about election fraud? We won all the damn elections. The fraud that's going on is we're not holding ourselves to the promises that we made of fiscal responsibility, putting America first, making America healthy. The problem is we're wasting the opportunity that we were given in these elections, that we won all of them.
Yep. Very, very well said. Thomas Massie says, I appeared on Morning Joe alongside Representative Ro Khanna this morning to discuss current news and our legislation, the Epstein Transparency Act 2. Epstein survivors still waiting for justice. Our bill allows state AGs to do the job the federal DOJ refuses to do. So that's an interesting strategy as well. He's sort of trying to put Todd Blanche in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. But look, obviously voter fraud is very real and a major concern. And while the Republicans have not done nearly enough with the mandate that we gave them, one of the main things they should be doing and should have done, you know, a year ago was pass the SAVE Act or do something to undo the fraudulent changes to the election system that the Democrats used to cheat. And of course, the evidence, once again, is absolutely overwhelming. It just never got reported on, so they're able to lie about it. So we will be covering Trump's speech. Again, the speech is supposed to start at 8 p.m. Central. Alex Jones will be live 7:30 Central. You can find that stream everywhere you find the Alex Jones Network live streams, such as rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive, alexjoneslive.com/show, and at Real Alex Jones, as well as at AJN Live, streaming on all of those platforms starting tonight at 7:30 Central. It'll be a barn burner, folks, and I hope you're there to see it. Okay, so everybody saw, I'm sure, at this point. Oh, ABC, NBC will not air Trump's election security speech on broadcast networks. Okay. I wonder what they'll air instead. That's sort of a... We'll get into that in just a second, but... They must hate money. They must hate money because everybody's going to be watching that speech. Why would you not want to air it? Because they're not capitalists. Because they're using their positions to gain ideological benefits, not actually make money. Anyway, we'll get back into that because that's another aspect to all of this that's worth considering. And again, I see all of this like part and part. It's all sort of the same thing happening, which is the feedback loop, the scam, I guess you could call it. I mean, whatever you want to say, but the feedback loop of destroying our way of life, destroying the quality of life, destroying our economic system, and then providing the only available answer being communism, being globalism, being a takeover. It's just that over and over. And like you have this post from earlier today, VW in Germany is cutting 100,000 jobs and closing four plants. This is estimated to lead to another 300,000 job losses at suppliers. Combined, that results in 886,000 job losses in Germany, when including the 486,000 job losses from the last round. At Naked Hedgie, Alex Craner says, "These are war preparations. Prosperous people with good career prospects aren't keen on dying in trenches. First, you have to immiserate them, create very high youth unemployment. You steal their future, then tell them who's to blame." And I can't help but agree. I can't help but seeing all of this as part and parcel of the same general movement across Europe and the West. Collapsing the industry, collapsing the energy production, collapsing the opportunities for young people, forcing them on government dependency, hopefully for life, replacing them with foreigners who you can pay pennies on the dollar, just hollowing out the middle class, and making, you know, the economic future uncertain, so war seems ever more like a solution. So everything's everything is being driven in this direction. None of this is natural. It's all fabricated and manipulated, I believe, to bring about this exact result. Like I said, you can't have a drive for communism if capitalism is working correctly. You have to break that first, and the people breaking it are the ones running it and exploiting it. But again, let's get down to brass tacks, like Stephen Miller was talking about. Leftism, whatever you want to call this impulse, this motivation that's driving people on the left to, you know, want to burn everything down, it is driven from desperation. It's driven from the fact that we have been totally dislocated as human beings from anything that we recognize for all of human history. We are not supposed to live like this. That's the problem. At the end of the day, we're not supposed to be isolated. We're not supposed to be communicating electronically. We're not supposed to be doing any of this. So how do we get back? Or how do we, I don't know, manipulate our current situation so that it actually makes some sort of sense and actually benefits the people living in it? But again, hopefully you can see the through line here of the seething jealousy, the hatred of things that are beautiful and good and successful and wanting to tear it all down. When you have things like this, new broadcasting guidelines for women's athletics have been released to crack down on camera angles and slow motion replays that quote unquote sexualize athletes. This guideline highlights shots broadcasters are urged to avoid. And actually, guys, if the crew can find a video from yesterday, I don't even think I can say the name of the video. He schools this stupid woman. There's a video from yesterday about schooling a stupid woman. And I want to play that because that explains what's actually behind the uniforms that women wear at the Olympics. But I've got a couple, you know, responses to this that I think are accurate. There's a reason why they do this while promoting porn and calling prostitutes content creators, and you're not going to like it. So I don't know what this guy's hinting at, but again, everybody should be able to recognize the sort of absurdity of the left wing, whatever you want to define it as, the cultural arsonists, the dismantling faction rather than the building faction. They love pornography. They love lasciviousness. They love, you know, sexual liberation. But they're highly offended if you look at a woman the wrong way. It's like, what are you talking about? What is this madness? And it's about destroying the beautiful, destroying the good, destroying the productive, right? You can have all the sex you want as long as abortion is available. You can do all the sexually, you know, degenerate things you want as long as you're not building anything or producing anything. Then it's good, I guess. Alexander August had this reading. There's a deep sickness here, which traditional people are blind to. The forces that wage war on eroticism don't register pornography as a threat, but candid photos of beautiful athletes are. Have you ever asked yourself why that is? All right, guys, now you're just showing porn. So we don't need to do that. You can stick to the athletic videos. Thank you. I thought this was sort of the best read of the whole situation. Eve Kinnunen, I don't know how to pronounce that, but she's right here when she says, this is all examples of things men find pleasant, but in a more restrained way than they might find hardcore porn and OnlyFans pleasant. The hijab is a wicked thing. Female beauty is worthy of display in moderation because the beauty of women is very obviously one of the greatest goods God gave the human race. Here, too, virtue is the mean. The hijab and the harlot are the same error in different directions. And this in response to Brigadier Ketchup on X saying, things that libs are threatened by: hot female athletes, hot girls in movies, F1 grid girls, hot flight attendants, etc. Things libs are not threatened by: hardcore pornography, OnlyFans, etc. I don't have a perfectly clear-cut answer to this. But it seems to me that just recognizing this dichotomy is enough to sort of understand the unspoken underlying sentiment here. As long as it's degrading and disgusting, it's good. As long as it's a fat, adult, hairy man with a beard and a dress waving his junk in front of kids, that's beautiful and wonderful and love is love. But if it is a heterosexual white couple with five babies, that is disgusting. You're destroying the earth. It really gives me Nazi vibes, right? So, like, this is the real dichotomy. Whatever this is, whatever this thing that I lack the vocabulary to explain, this is what the actual dichotomy is. And every human being can choose one side or the other. You can choose the degenerate, the disgusting, the exploitative, or the beautiful, the orderly, the well-designed. The same people, in fact, I think I have that tweet coming up here. But again, like that, it's just like such a good point. Like, what does explain this? Why are they threatened by F1 grid girls or hot girls in movies or on posters or in advertisements? But but dudes dressing up like chicks and stripping on a stripper pole in front of 3-year-olds is seen as the most beautiful, moral, innocent thing in the world. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what's going on in their minds. All I can say is that it's wrong and evil and bad and that we want nothing to do with it. But this from David Santa Carla at the Only DSC in response to the new crackdowns about not looking at, girls at certain angles, says the people who made these rules are the same one who watched billions of children to watch this. And it's that creepy transgender parody of The Last Supper from the Olympics. And the thing that makes this most like so baffling is that it's everything they believe. That everything they believe has this inversion of reality to it, right? They don't want sexy athletes running around, but they do want hardcore pornography in your elementary school. Like, that's one of these things. But it goes absolutely everywhere. They're hyper aware, hyper terrified and paranoid about the specter of, white patriarchy, while singing and singing the praises of and celebrating the most brutal, patriarchal, misogynist, Islamic sex that keep women as slaves. It's like, why is it? Why is it everything they believe is like this? And the answer is because they don't have principles. They don't have morals. They don't actually believe anything. their entire philosophy is just one of destruction. It's just one of dismantling. When they say that like there are builders and there are destroyers, that's real at like a metaphysical level. Like in their cells, they just feel an instinct like a beaver building a dam. They must destroy. So like when you actually, if you actually had principles, if anybody actually had principles, everything would be a hell of a lot easier, right? Everything is like this. If they had principles, the left would be on our side when it came to Somalian welfare fraud, right? What is the left-wing excuse for wanting the welfare system to be exploited by billions of dollars? It doesn't make any sense. If they actually had principles, the principle might be something like American welfare should help American people get back on their feet, and that it's right for a government to provide subsistence living for its people at the very latest, like at the very least. That might be the principle. And then when there is a threat to that, they would be against the threat. Hey, I want the welfare to system to be successful and robust safety net for the American people. Okay, well, it's being exploited by billions of dollars by foreigners. It's like anybody who actually believed in the welfare system would be like, well, that's horrible. We have to stop that so this welfare system can operate successfully. I believe in the welfare system, so we have to protect it from exploitation by people that don't deserve it. Why don't they believe that? Why don't they care? It doesn't make any sense. Everybody who cared so greatly, was so fearful of COVID, was willing to, you know, no longer talk to your family over wearing masks, but you don't care that it was man-made and was released possibly on purpose, but possibly as a result of an accidental leak from a lab. You were the ones that were scared of it. You were the ones that were telling everybody that COVID was going to kill everyone and we had to take it super seriously. Why don't you care that it was created in a lab? Why is absolutely every position like this? You hate patriarchy. We live in a rape culture, but also we're importing Muslims by the millions, and you're in favor of that. Make it make sense. Make any of this make any sense at all. Why is it literally everything with them? Here's another great example of just the type of people we're dealing with. So this woman named Beth Bourdon posted a GIF of this ice skater celebrating her win. And she says, I just got a life verdict on a death penalty case. So this woman, lawyer, has a client. And I heard some differing reports on what he was accused of. I believe the actual case was that he broke into a woman's house, raped, possibly murdered a like 93-year-old woman. Okay. And this lawyer is ecstatic at the fact that he will not be given the death penalty. Apparently she has a deep conviction about the death penalty. What a horrible thing to put somebody to death. We as a progressive society should never do such a thing. Meanwhile, the moment Lindsey Graham killed, she posts another image with balloons and fireworks saying, diva down, diva down. So as old Phil Rando puts it, she celebrates the death of a Republican senator, celebrates preventing the death of a rapist and a murderer. What common ground am I supposed to seek out with these people? The question is, what ground are they even standing on? Where is she coming from? What is her morality? If you rape and murder a 93-year-old woman in her own home, you don't deserve death. If you're a Republican senator, you do deserve death. That's their moral understanding of the world. Why is it like this? Why are they like this? What is wrong with them? You know, it would actually be easier to contend with a worldview that was at all consistent. But if they were consistent, they would just be nihilist. They'd be happy Lindsey Graham died. They'd be happy the criminal died. They would just be happy everybody's dying all the time. Like, they can't be consistent. Or they'd have to actually live up to their claimed morality and actually be sad if somebody like Charlie Kirk or Lindsey Graham dies. How often they express, you know, well, we gotta get rid of all guns to save one single life, or whatever, you know, excuse they say. It's always predicated on, but we just have to save people. And then it's like, well, a father of two, an innocent man who never hurt anybody, was just viciously murdered on live TV. And they're like, good, he deserved it. So, like, I think, you know, the point here is that, like, we have to literally picture these people like orcs or goblins or monsters of some sort. They aren't human beings to any reasonable degree. You do not have anything in common with a person like this. I don't understand how anybody does. You celebrate the life of a rapist and murderer and cheer for the death of a congressman. I didn't like Lindsey Graham. I said, I don't celebrate death, but I do feel a massive sense of relief in his passing. But this is disgusting. Like, once you understand that these people are to be treated like insects, like goblins, like orcs who believe nothing, understand nothing, are driven by just a seething hatred of all things good and beautiful, and that are completely and utterly and obnoxiously inconsistent with their every belief, we have to ignore them. We have to oppress them. We have to stop them from having any power in our country. We have to just do what is right and let them cry about it and just move forward. That's the whole point here. These people are insane, and we're only hindered by even trying to figure out what's going on in their brains. We have to just drive ahead.
America is now 250 years old. July 4th isn't about delicious cheeseburgers and fireworks, though I love them so much. It's about, what does America stand for? The globalists cannot have our country survive. They want transhumanism. They want the Great Reset. They want the New World Order. That's why they demonize America. That's why they pay the NBA and the NFL to take a knee during the anthem and push all this communist Chinese garbage. Because what America stands for is antithetical to what they're doing. So, when you go to thealexshowshore.com, we have a whole summer line that just rolled out. We'll show you some of these designs. And most of them, I came up with the concepts. I'm pretty proud of it. I think this is a badass shirt. It's the Betsy Ross flag. And it says, Rebel Scum Since 1776. And the designs just get better from there. And they fund the Second American Revolution happening right now. Because our Revolutionary War never really ended. We're just one continued arc, the flower of the Renaissance, challenging totalitarians and authoritarian scum. Because in truth, they're the scum, we are the future, and we are winning. You wanted 1980-style wife beaters? We got a whole bunch of them with great slogans like, less 1984, more 1776. Got another great shirt, Make Orwell Fiction Again, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And I got to tell you, this fabric, how light it is, how good it feels. I asked the folks at Bigley, can we have some dress shirts? And I sent them an example. This is even better than the shirt I bought that was similar to it. This is awesome. This shirt is so light. It's so great in the summer. Get yours now along with dozens of new designs and so much more at thealexshowstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.